The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Rita Bellissimo, the entertainment journalist, is with me, as is Dee Reddy, entertainment journalist and podcaster. Got one up on Serena there. Oh, envy. Anyway, recommendations of what to watch. Dee, Death of a Unicorn. What is this?
This is probably one of my favourite genres in the world, horror comedy. Like, scare me, grand, scare me and make me
laugh.
Yeah,
sorry, there's Dublin Bus has all these ads for this James Franco movie where they get stuck together.
Oh, but yeah.
And it describes it, at the tagline on it, the review that they have stuck on it is the funniest horror movie you'll see all year or something.
This is James Franco and Alison Brie.
That's his actual wife.
It is a genre. I guess. But if you like the shock of being scared.
No.
I know you don't.
Is the Human Centipede a horror comedy?
No, that's just gross, to be honest with you. It certainly wouldn't be the first film I would think of in horror.
That shows you.
First film I think of in all situations.
Fair enough.
Even when I'm not talking about films.
Yeah. I mean, one of my sisters did put that on once, thinking that it was going to be a nature documentary, God love her. She quickly found out no. Death of a Unicorn, though, horror comedy, legitimate genre. It is fantastic. Just great, great fun. It stars Paul Rudd, Richard E. Grant, Jenna Ortega, and they have a stacked cast behind them. So many familiar faces from comedy over the years. It tells the story as the film opens. Basically, you have Paul Rudd's character. He is off with his daughter to visit this massive countryside estate owned by billionaires. Billionaire being Richard E. Grant, shocker. And Richard E. Grant is very, very ill and is making plans for his estate. And Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega, as they're booting along in their car, having a little bit of a fight, doing a little bit of, you know,
giving. Couple?
No, God, they're father and daughter.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, geez, Louise. But they hit a unicorn on the road and it dies. And they put it in the back of the car. And then as the film progresses, people realise that this unicorn, the blood, the parts of the animal have restorative and healing powers. So the rich people very quickly get on board with a plan to sell it to other rich people at a massive profit. And they have scientists there and they're carving up the poor unicorn. And then mommy and daddy unicorn come to play. And they are not happy at what's happening there, baby. And it turns into, I would almost describe it as Knives Out meets Jurassic Park, I think. It turns into a full-on monster movie. And the special effects.
Where the monsters are two unicorns.
They are.
Are two grieving unicorn parents.
Very sad unicorns. There's quite a bit of sparkle.
So can I watch
quite
this?
A bit of sparkle.
You're selling this like a movie I could actually watch.
Okay. It is quite gory.
Okay, no.
Yeah, no, I know where you stand on that, so I don't want to. And I've gotten myself in trouble before by saying, it's not even a violent film, and then somebody goes to see Drive and they're upset with me. So you know yourself. I think this one, no, sit it out.
Thanks.
Yeah, but it's great. It's great crack. It's available on Apple TV. It only came out in March, so it's just in the last week it's come out for streaming to rent. Well worth a watch if you are a fan of that particular genre.
Death of a Unicorn for fans of the horror comedy genre. Human Centipede, Together,
debatable,
and this.
Debatable.
Serena, The Naked Gun. Have you seen it?
I have.
Well.
Do you know what? Let me just say, it's stupid. It's ridiculous.
I love it.
Yeah, we knew that.
It's silly.
Go on.
You have to be in the mood for it. But all those things I usually say and you're like, it's a bad movie. It's so much fun. It's what we need right now.
Okay.
Right? We haven't had spoof comedy in a long time. Like in the 90s, I think the reason why Naked Gun had run its course is because Naked Gun then inspired Scary Movie. It inspired Hot Shots with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
So do you remember that? Like it just... It
Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yeah. And
big favourite of mine.
So funny.
Yeah.
But it sort of lost the run of itself. We haven't had spoof comedy in a long time. Liam Neeson.
Do you know what? How it died? Horror movies. They kept doing all the
horror
I know.
Comedy,
yeah.
The
horror.
Scary movie,
The Scary Movie spin-offs. That
also
killed
think
it.
As well,
there was too
like
many.
There's a kind of split
Not another teen
around
movie.
When Anchorman came out. That Hollywood comedies really moved into the improv space. So rather than really, really meticulously set up gags, it suddenly became about the performers who are naturally funny making stuff up on the fly.
Yeah, that was the end of it. So, Anchorman killed it.
Yeah.
Not a bad one to kill it, though. But this time, Liam Neeson steps into the shoes of Leslie Nielsen, who he used to get confused. Like, a lot of people used to muck the two of them up, so much so that when Leslie Nielsen passed away in 2010, a lot of people reported that Liam Neeson had died just because their names are very similar. Yeah. But he plays Frank Drebin Jr. So he plays Leslie Nielsen's son. Like his dad, he has to solve a murder to keep police squad going. Throw into the mix Pamela Anderson.
Are they going out?
In real life?
Yeah.
I don't know why we're all so invested, but we so are, and I so want them to.
I think people are invested because they both seem like such nice people and they deserve another nice person.
I know, but I think I've been listening to a podcast where they discuss this as part of other stuff, and they were saying if they were going out, it'd probably be a bit more secretive. Like, they're so leaning into it that it's probably what happened with Give Me the Names of Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell.
Yes.
When they were promoting their movie.
Yes.
Everyone was like, oh, are they, aren't they? It almost leans into the movie because their chemistry on screen. So she plays the sister of someone who's been murdered. They think, no, it was an accidental death. She's like, no, I'm going to help you solve this case. That's how they get together. Their chemistry is incredible. I could watch the two of them do anything. They're really good at being comedic actors.
But are the gags funny?
Yeah. Now, look, some of them you're sitting there going, some of it feels like when you were watching Bruce Forsyth present Strictly Come Dancing on a Saturday night and you're just like, oh, my God, Bruce, this isn't the time for that joke. But we know what we're going into. So if you know that's what you're going into.
Isn't it, though, those kind of films, they always, and like even the original Police Squad TV show, it's almost like the gag per minute. So you're not going to get everyone. You'd be broken laughing otherwise. But there's something there for everyone every couple of minutes.
And look, there's a sexual innuendo. There's the slapstick. There's the sight gags of like the coffee cup just getting progressively bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, so there you go. You are going to love
it. Yeah, I like that.
Do you know what I will say? Go see it in a cinema with a lot of people because I think that communal laughter is something we all need right now. And that communal laughter lets you lean into this that little bit more. And it's only 85 minutes long.
Oh, success. So
amazing. And stay for the credits. When I thought I couldn't love Liam Neeson anymore, then he starts singing during the credits. And you're just like, Liam, you can serenade me anytime.
Wow.
It's just,
I can't wait
to
see it.
It's a lot of fun. But if you are not in the mood, you're going to go, this is so stupid.
Could you get yourself in the mood by watching all the originals?
Yes. And they are like, this is so, so smart by the license holders because they are available on so many different platforms at the moment. So if you have a Paramount Plus subscription, it's there. If you have Now TV Movies, it's there. If you have Sky Movies, it's there. And you can also rent them on Sky Now and Apple. And you can actually rent the trilogy as a package. So I'm planning to go on Sunday with a pal of mine. And I will be watching all three in the meantime. Yeah.
You'll appreciate that too, because this what this movie does so well as well is it pays homage to the original.
Yeah.
Without leaning into that too much.
Or without too much OJ. Yeah.
And they acknowledge, and that's a funny bit as well. So they acknowledge OJ. And look, if you're not au fait with 90s culture, a lot of this stuff is going to go over your head, right? But the original fans will appreciate that.
But this is like Happy Gilmore 2, isn't it? They realize there's an audience there. Yeah. It's like Adam Sandler realized about 10 years ago, there's an audience there of kind of middle-aged people who will watch these movies and that they're all doing it.
Yeah, and what's going to happen?
And Spinal Tap coming, like you were talking about that. That's the same thing.
Today, it's like, you know what, there's an audience there. Coming. And like it has people like Paul McCartney and Garth Brooks appearing in it, apparently. But like I think with those movies, though, what they're starting to realise, I guess, is that they are endlessly rewatchable. You know, if they don't really suffer from the kind of movies that you would have had on VHS or DVD as a family and you would throw them on And it makes sense in a world of streaming and just constant, what am I going to watch, what am I going to watch, that you would revert back to those.
Do you know what the first video, the first thing I bought online was? Whoa. Was a VHS of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No
very
way.
First item I've purchased online. Yeah.
Cool. That's actually going to be back in cinemas.
Why do you look so confused, Serena?
I just didn't think that that would be, like, I just would have assumed it would have been some World War II history type thing.
Had them.
You didn't meet them.
Bought them in person. Yeah.
He said bought online.
Yeah, bought online. Yeah. First thing I bought online. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's coming back into cinemas at the end of August. So loads of cinemas around Ireland are going to be screening it because it's the 50-year anniversary of its release.
Ah, it's not 50 years old, is it?
Wow. Years.
And Jason Donovan's coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre with it as well.
Is he?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
Jason Donovan bought a smoothie in front of me around the corner from here a few years
did
ago.
Did you know?
Yeah.
Your stories today.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, he did.
Do you remember what
he wasn't in character as any character from Rocky Horror at the time.
And he wasn't being Scott from Neighbours.
Or Joseph.
He wasn't being Scott from Neighbours either, but that is how I thought of him. Obviously.
Obviously.
Anyway, so that is 50 years old. That is coming. Serena, what's the assassin?
Well, talking about Scott from Neighbours, his dad, Jim Robinson, Alan Dale.
Oh, this is great.
He has a
seamless,
bit part. Yeah.
Seamless segue.
He has a bit part in this. The assassin stars Keely Hawes, who a lot of people would have known from Line of Duty.
Yes.
She plays a retired assassin. But she has to come out of retirement when she's been tracked down, and her estranged son is also in the line of fire. I was going to say line of duty, but no, he's in the line. He's in the line of fire, and the two of them have to sort of work together to find out what's going on. Where, and the son's played by Freddie Highmore, who is in The Good Doctor.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And so you watch him and go, oh, that's a bit jarring because your accent is an American. He's actually using his own accent. They play mother and son so perfectly. It's set in mainly in Greece. So like the scenery is amazing, but they also go to other places around the world. Jim Robinson, Alan Dale, is in this as an Australian baddie. Why are the Australians always the baddies? But anyway, he is a bit of a baddie. I think murdered based on like Rupert Murdoch type, that sort of person. It's just, do you know what? It's good. We've seen this before. It's nothing new. Oh my God, it's so gory. The opening sequence, I'm just like, oh my gosh, the amount of people they take out in that opening sequence. There's action, there's all of that. But we've never seen these characters as protagonists. I love it. Like at one stage, the son turns around and when he finds out about the mum and goes, you're not going to tell me you're some perimenopausal James Bond. And then she's there taking tablets and the guy turns around and goes, what are they for? For my menopause. And it was just like, it was just in passing. It's just, I think this is great. It's only 6 episodes long. They're all available now. There's some banter in there. This is a comedy thriller.
Look at all these crossovers. Where can people watch it?
6 episodes on Prime Video. Okay. I don't get it. Critics have given this 90%. The audiences have rated about 32% on Rotten Tomatoes. Again, it's one of those types of things. Don't take this too seriously. If you're going in for like a Bourne Identity, it's not that. It's just a bit of fun. And there's no flashbacks, flash forwards. You know, they start in the past and then they move forward.
Maybe. Well, Serena, you know how I feel about the passage of time, the linear nature of time. You know my feelings on physics.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, the Long Road to the Deep North, is that our final recommendation?
Yes. So I'm kind of sweating now here because I just heard that you don't like messing around with timelines because this is one that takes place in 3 timelines. But it is, to be fair, it's very clear how they relate to each other and
it
which comes
matter.
First.
It nope. doesn't matter.
Damn it. Okay. Mm. It's based on a book. Nope, not helping. Okay, no, it is absolutely fantastic. Like, I was really, I loved the book when it came out. It was, I think it won the Booker. And it tells the story of a group. So it's the main guy in it is a guy called Dorigo Evans. And he's played, the young version of him is played by Jacob Elordi. And then Kieran Hines plays him later on.
Okay.
It's all kind of...
But does one timeline eventually run into the other?
Yes. So, well, sort of. So basically what you
see,
have
I don't
is,
mind, I should be clear on this now. I don't mind, say Yellowstone 1923, 1883. I didn't watch any of them.
Yeah.
But like, I don't mind that in terms of going backwards because there's sufficient. What I don't like is here's the end of the story or a point just before the end. Oh, and now we're going to spend 90 minutes doing basically exposition to get us back to this point and then we'll finish the story.
You'll be delighted to hear this actually starts at the start.
Okay, World War II.
So
oh,
where?
World War II.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Did you hear his voice?
I know that, right?
I'm in.
What a thing to celebrate, war. But yeah, so it's a group of soldiers who get captured and they end up as prisoners of war working on the Burmese railway. And then the older version. You love this.
Bridging the River Kwai, basically.
The older version.
And
it follows very closely to Richard.
That's Bridging the River Kwai, isn't it?
He's going home tonight and he's going to go back through all of his World War II memorabilia and books.
I love that movie. Sorry, go on.
No. So it follows very closely to Richard Flanagan's book. And Kieran Hines is the older version, and he has become kind of a war hero and a writer, and he gives this really abrasive interview about that period of his time in his life that he had written about. But cut through it all is the love story between him and his wife, and they're still together in the 80s, and you get to understand a lot of the problems that they have in the 80s and how they relate to his earlier experiences in the 40s. It's really, really beautiful. Again, just like yours, it is nice, short and sweet. This is 5 episodes. Interestingly enough, Amazon Prime had the outside of a couple of regions had it for about 3 months, and now it's available on BBC, Australian Broadcasting, and RTE concurrently. So I do wonder, was there some sort of a deal done there to get it made? It is so, so beautiful. And it kind of reminds you of those literary adaptations that used to be such a key part of your like TV week back in the 90s. Well worth a watch.
Is this what you're doing over your bank holiday weekend?
Absolutely. And then whistling the Bridge of the River Kwai theme
your
music.
Your poor family. They're going to put up that white flag and go, "We surrender."
Serena Bellissimo and Dee Reddy, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.